My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Major General Paul Vallely. He is the founder of Stand Up America. He has also just come back from a trip to Europe to evaluate the refugee crisis there and discuss the latest developments in Syria and the best path forward. And General, it's always good to have you with us. Thanks for your time today.
Well, thanks, Greg. Thanks for the invitation.
The most recent major development in Syria prior to your trip, of course, was the entrance of Russian air power, which seems to be at least as interested, if not more so, in destroying the non-ISIS Syrian rebels than it is in going after ISIS. You had the chance to meet with a key Russian official in Europe. What did you learn from him about Russian priorities and ambitions?
Well, it was interesting. We were first in Vienna to check the refugee situation there and the transit from Hungary into Austria, and then, of course, preceding most of the refugees into Germany, and had a press conference there. And then we went to Paris, had a press conference there, and I met with the senior foreign minister for Vladimir Putin to the Middle East and to Syria. And at that time, as a non-government organization, we presented a plan to solve not only the Syrian refugee situation, but the reunification and reconstruction of Syria, looking, you know, really at today and tomorrow, what needs to be done to bring that country back together again.
U.S. priorities and Russian priorities are obviously very different. For example, your plan calls for the end of the Assad regime. The Russians' main goal in Syria is to maintain the Assad regime. So obviously that's a major impasse. What did this official tell you about Russia's endgame?
Well, the Russians were very congenial, no arrogance. They were very forthright. Of course, the Russians, you know, they're very clever in their negotiations. They really don't put forward a lot. They listened and, you know, shake their head. And so with that, we laid out our plan for their consideration. But nothing will happen in Syria, as I've said on TV and radio and to the ambassador, until Assad retires and is removed. And once that's done, then the reunification can proceed, along with the return of the Syrian refugees back to a very secure, safe area in western Syria. And then the countries involved in fighting Daesh or ISIS then can proceed to neutralize and destroy ISIS. So it's all laid out in my plan, which, of course, you may use any way you'd like to, Greg. But the first thing, ceasefire, quit bombing the innocent Free Syrian Army and civilians that the Russians have been doing, because they've been hitting almost no ISIS targets at all. And we got this from inside of Syria through our intel operatives there. And so then Assad's got to step down, be replaced by a new government, and then they can proceed to reunification and restoration and basically get Syria pulled back together as a unified country and people.
Let's get to that in just a moment. But just to wrap up your conversation with the Russian official, what sense did you get about the level of respect or fear that the Russians have for the United States at this point?
Well, again, they're very clever in what they say and don't say. Of course, you mentioned John Kerry and Burns and a couple of the other ambassadors that he's met with already. But certainly he didn't put forth any positive things, but he didn't criticize the United States at all. You know, they're very clever. But they know that we have very weak leadership in the United States. We have no strategy that works or will work in the Middle East. And so he knew that basically Russians are controlling the chessboard, and nothing will happen in Syria unless something's done with the Russians. That's just the way it is.
So how do you ever convince the Russians to turn their back on their strong ally, the whole reason they're there?
Well, my position was, listen, you know, you have elections in Russia. You know, we have a new government coming into the United States next year. Governments change. They had a change of government in Egypt. You know, Assad's been there for over 20 years, his father before that, and it's time for him to go. Now, how do you make Putin a hero in all this? Well, number one, he can be the one that helps unify Syria. He can be the one that helps destroy ISIS. And third, they can be part of the economic development program for a new Syria. So it's like, let's make a deal. You know, like Donald Trump says, you can make a deal with these guys, but there has to be something in it for them. And what's in it for the long term is an oil pipeline across Syria, the benefits of a reconstruction and a new development of high-tech cities, manufacturing in Syria. So a lot of things could be done that Russia would benefit from by asking Assad to retire, step aside, put him in a Dachau outside of Moscow, or send him to Tehran. But basically, I think they would be amenable to that in the long term.
Do you get the sense the Russians want a permanent spot in Syria on the Mediterranean?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. They want that Mediterranean sea coast and Tartus, the seaport, and be a part of the future of Syria. No doubt about it.
The Russians obviously cozy with Assad. From what we've seen in recent years with the nuclear program and elsewhere, they're also getting increasingly cozy with Iran. What do you know about stories of Iran sending ground forces into Syria and how that relationship complicates your hopes for a free and prosperous Syria?
Well, under General Suleiman, they've had Iranian troops in and out of there for the last, decade. Russians have also been in there as well because one of the proxy states for Russia is Iran. But you can believe at this point in time, Iran is not controlling the situation in Syria any longer. It is the Russians.
Let's talk a little bit about the refugees. You were also in Vienna. You were able to see some of the refugees there. What's your assessment of that, and what's your assessment of the concerns of many that there are ISIS infiltrators mixed in amongst these refugees?
Well, what's happening is they're leaving refugee sites from Turkey. They're going to Thessalonica, Greece, by water, and then from Greece they go up through Macedonia, Serbia, into Hungary, and then they transit from there to Austria, then into Germany and Switzerland and France and some other countries. Now, I would say 7 out of 10 are young men in their 20s and 30s. We did see families, children. We did see them carrying basically one bag. But here's the thing that happens, Greg, is they transit. They have money to buy train tickets. They've come a ways by boat and by foot, but then they buy train tickets. Now, once they get a ticket and enter a country, and then they declare refugee status, so that has to be backed by the agreed to, of course, in a previous treaty, which has been agreed to, I should say, and that basically gives them refugee status. But now you have a great deal of protest going on in Germany by the Germans right now. So again, you go back. Putin can be a hero in this, but got to solve that refugee problem. But you got to secure the country so they can go back to it. They don't want to stay in Europe, by the way. They want to go back to their villages and towns. They have nothing in common with food or the traditions and values of each of the European countries. So, but Paris is overrun by Muslims right now. I mean, it is incredible. Even the beggars on the street were elderly women or young pregnant girls. But Paris has been overrun. It's an incredible situation to see.
What do you do with them while the war goes on?
Well, what they're doing in Austria, for example, is they transit through there. They'll stay 1 or 2 days. They have community centers and churches they've opened up that feed them. They can take a bath or a shower. And many of the places, like in Germany, they're going into certain camp areas until they can be returned. So it's a major problem.
Going back to Syria, obviously you've been a supporter of the Free Syrian Army. We've had that discussion in the past. One of the things that's been very frustrating, of course, is the inability of the United States to train rebels that it finds acceptable to be allied with. And the number of successfully trained rebels was extremely small. So what is left of the Free Syrian Army, and why has it been so difficult for the United States to find substantial numbers to partner with here?
Well, I still work with and liaison with about 15 Syrian generals and former ministers and government officials that made up the Free Syrian Army as basically the group supported by those against Assad. So I would say they're opposition. You could call them rebels, but they're really opposition. But they're made up of many sophisticated people, and most of the Free Syrian Army had already been trained. So when I reported back in 2013 to Congress and to the CIA and Defense Department that they needed to support the Free Syrian Army because they were secularists. They were looking for a future of freedom for Syria and a development, and they weren't radicals. There wasn't even any talk of ISIS in 2013 when I was there. So the Free Syrian Army still is there, maybe 40, 50,000 strong around the country that could be mobilized if Assad would step down and you could have a reunification of a new Syrian army, for example, or armed forces. There's a lot of potential there, but Putin's holding the cards on this one.
Let me re-ask a question I mentioned a little while ago, and that is the fear of some, especially here in the United States, but also some in Western Europe, that there are ISIS infiltrators in amongst these hundreds of thousands of refugees. What do you know about that? What are you hearing from folks over there?
I would think that's very true, but the problem is they're not vetting any of them. And unless you vet them and profile them in some way, you're never going to find out. So obviously ISIS is using the refugee program to infiltrate into Europe.
So last question, General, what comes next? What's next in the plan? What do you expect to happen next?
Well, we'd like to see the Russians meet with the Free Syrian Army senior people, the generals and some of the ministers, and then talk about this reunification.
That's what you'd like to see happen. What do you think will happen?
Well, it's a possibility that our plan will be accepted by the Russians, so we'll see.
Well, we'll certainly be following. And, General, great to have your insights following a very eventful trip to Europe. We really appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
You bet. Retired U.S. Army Major General Paul Vallely, founder of Stand Up America. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.